Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. And I'm your host, Del Walmsley. As always, we're working on your financial freedom, and today is Tell Del Tuesday. With me here today is Dina Kazalis out of Corpus Christi. She's a member that's been with us just a short period of time and has been very successful. Dina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Del.
So let's get started here with the basic questioning. What made you look into real estate investing? How'd you find us?
So I actually found y'all off of Facebook. At the time, I was flipping houses and wholesaling, and I kept seeing David Fisher's posts on my friend's feed. And I was like, who is this guy? And then I thought it made a lot more sense than flipping and wholesaling to have like the steady income versus the short bursts of a lot of income and then no income.
Well, let's take it back to that then. What is the difference? What does flipping and wholesaling mean for the audience out there who's never heard about it? What does that mean?
Oh, sure. So wholesaling would be you get a house under contract for under market value, and then you sell it to an investor, and you have to make sure all the numbers are right so there's still enough for both of y'all to make money. But it's a lot of marketing costs, looking for distressed homeowners, and just making sure that everybody can get on the same page to get everything closed. But the thing with wholesaling is you could market for a month and not get anything. And then you could next month, you might close two deals. It was just very up and down.
How long did you do that?
I did that for about 3 years.
So it sounds like a lot of work to me, but either way, you were doing it. You liked it. What did you earn on each deal?
It depended. I think the average deal I probably earned about $15,000.
Wow, that's pretty good, actually. Did you have any money in the deals, or you just...
So we would always double close them, so we would have some money in the deals, but for a very short period of time.
All right. So why did you decide to stop doing that?
It was too much of like the rat race. It was just like a job. So I wanted to transition into a more steady income.
All right. Let's talk about how you said you found us through Facebook because of David Fisher.
Yes.
How did you get signed up with us? What did you do?
So I was following on Facebook, and I think there was a link to sign up. It was during the pandemic, and so the first 2 day we went on was actually online.
So you went to the 2 day online. That's interesting. Did you take the 4-part or the 2 day version?
We did the 2-part, the 2 day version. And then my husband thought it was a scam, so he was kind of in and out of the room while I was watching the 2 day.
I always love those people that are pessimists. Those are my greatest people.
Yes, he's
because
super excited about Lifestyles now.
They ask the greatest questions, and then when they find out it's true, then really become some of the greatest advocates at that point. As you watch the 2 day, now you've already done some real estate. You got your hands all over this stuff. You've been in it. What caught your attention? What was the aha moment that really changed it all for you?
I think it was the 5 different ways to make real estate, and then I like the idea of retiring in 2 years or less.
5 different ways to make real estate, or do you mean 5 different ways to make money in real estate?
Oh my gosh, 5 different ways to make money in real estate.
Okay, that's fine. Let's see, that's really on the first day. And when you went through it, was there anything, because you're out there doing this stuff, you're throwing these numbers together, putting these deals together. Was there anything else that you saw that was like an aha moment for you?
I think the whole 2 day was an aha moment. It just brought everything that I was kind of piecemealing. It brought it all together.
Okay. So give me an example. What things stuck out to you?
I think the main one was the equity capture with the principal pay down. And I also liked the idea of doing apartments and then being able to invest passively.
So when you were doing the wholesaling, you were pulling some of the equity out by getting your profit up front and then giving the rest to the person that you sold it to?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you virtually doubled the amount of equity capture by keeping it yourself, right?
Oh, definitely.
So what about the fact of hard money lending? I mean, when you were wholesaling, were you using hard money lending?
No, everything was cash.
So did that make a difference in your mind?
Oh, it makes a huge difference because of the leverage. Like, I just, the one that we just finished up, we only paid $7,700 out of pocket to close the deal.
Okay. And you have how many now?
So we have six. And actually, after this phone call, I'm going to go close on the seventh.
So what does that mean to you as far as equity capture on those seven deals and as far as cash flow?
I knew that you were going to ask that. So I did the math right before. And so with those seven deals, we've captured $423,000 in equity. And then the cash flow is $1,880 a month.
Wow, that's amazing. Your husband's mm-hmm. a firefighter?
He is. He actually was supposed to be on this call, and they pulled him into a meeting.
Okay. And you do tax resolution. What does that mean?
So I help people that are in tax audits. So I'm an enrolled agent, and when somebody gets audited either by the IRS or, let's say, the state, we can help represent them in the audit to get them the best resolution.
Do you have to be a CPA to do that?
No, I'm an EA, so I did take a federal test. So the CPAs are state licensed, and my license is federal. And my license is in taxes, not necessarily accounting.
So how old is your husband? I'm asking for the retirement benefit part of it.
No, you're fine. He's 41.
So on your resume here, it says that you got into this to try to retire your husband. Is that actually something you want to do, or do you want to keep working as a firefighter to get his pension?
I did ask him that question, but he said no. Well, and he works for a refinery, so it's not for a city fire department, and he wants to retire. He's very excited about real estate.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've watched a lot of shows lately. One of them is Landman. A lot of people getting blown up in these refineries. Scary stuff.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he hasn't had a close call where he works at, but when he was younger, he used to travel on the road, and there were several close calls.
So how did you guys get together? How long have you been married?
So we've been married 13 years. We actually went to high school together, and we went, lived our own lives. And then after I was divorced and he was, I guess, separated because he wasn't married, he was at my friend's house, a mutual friend, and we reconnected over a barbecue.
Wow. High school sweethearts reconnected.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. You guys have any kids?
We do. We have five kids.
Five kids. Holy smokes. Share with us, if you would. You said your husband was a skeptic. I assume that's about Lifestyles Unlimited. What did he think about you doing wholesale and flipping?
You know, he was kind of a skeptic about that as well.
So tell me more. What kind of stuff would he talk to you about?
He was just like, I don't think that that's going to work. Because with wholesaling and flipping, you're not getting paid on your time. You're getting paid on results. So what I would do is once I closed a big deal, like one time we bought a couch, or I closed another big deal, we went on a trip to Yellowstone. So I would kind of try to make it fun by showing like, okay, here's the money and let's go do something fun with it. And so he was kind of like, okay, well, that works. But then on the months where I wasn't bringing anything in, he would be like, oh, so you didn't work this month? And so I just really couldn't explain like the inconsistency. so he was still a skeptic.
So are you doing this other job also? You're doing this tax stuff also or not?
At the time, no. But now I am kind of for the consistent income. And then so I need to retire myself first and then him.
So he sounds like a stick in the mud, huh?
Oh, he's going to listen to this radio show.
Doesn't matter.
I'm a
stick in the mud to my wife. My wife's all excitable and type A personality, and I'm a good, solid type B. Skeptic.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, he likes the consistency. And the wholesaling and flipping definitely was not consistent. It was very up and down.
So he thought we were a scam. So what does he think now after going through this?
Oh, he loves it. He actually has two friends that he convinced. I think they're going to go in January when it's in San Antonio. So now he's like the biggest advocate and he's recruiting people.
Okay. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So, what does he want you to do now? What's your goals? Do you guys talk about goals together, or do you have yours and he has his?
We talk about goals together. And so that's kind of, we want to start with a 10-plex and then eventually become leads. And that's where we're stuck because it's so easy once you have the formula for the single family. I kind of want to keep buying the single family and get a 10-plex. And he thinks that we should sell all of them all at the same time and then just move into something bigger. And so we're kind of back and forth. We haven't decided what we're doing yet.
Single family are easy, and they are systematic. You can do them the same system just over and over and over, rinse and repeat all the time, right?
Yes.
So have you had some bad deals? You had some stuff that was tough? We want to hear one of your
interesting
stories.
Deals.
Let's hear an interesting story.
Do you want to hear about the one that smells bad or about the crackhead that I didn't know was a crackhead?
We'll take both of them. Just the interest of people out there going like, wow, what is this? What does that mean?
Usually I go through MLS and it's super easy. But one of them was a foreclosure. It was actually my most profitable one. And I've sent out letters and somebody sent me back. You know, they called me. And I guess the first line was they kept calling me from different phone numbers. So I thought that was kind of weird. So I went over there and it is this beautiful brick house on the outside. The inside's a little tore up. And this guy just has tattoos everywhere. He's got like the teardrops. You could smell the weed. I mean, just, yeah. And so basically what had happened was his parents had passed away and he hadn't paid the mortgage. He'd been living there with electricity, but with no water. And he needed to get out. And so I viewed it and I was like, yes, I want to buy this property. Let me get my husband to come with me again to like walk it tomorrow before we give you an offer. And then Marshall came with me the next day and he was like, oh my God, didn't you see all the guns? And I was like, what are you talking about, Marshall? And he was like, that guy has guns everywhere. I can't believe you walked that house by yourself. And I was like, well, he needs to sell. He wants money. I'm going to give him money. So, I mean, he's not going to kill me because he's not going to get any money. So it's fine. And so we wrote up the contract. Closing day came and he was like, I want more money. So I went through with my formula and I was like, I can give you about $5,000 more, but that's the absolute limit that my bank will lend. And so then he signed the paperwork. We drive by and he is still there. Like it's a month later or probably 3 weeks later. And we drive by and he's still there. And I'm like, hey, can I say his name? I don't know.
I wouldn't say his name.
Okay. I'm like, hey, so-and-so, you were supposed to be out, you know, cause basically I think he was getting like 30,000 on top of getting out of the foreclosure. And so he had gotten his money. I was like, well, I know they wired you the money. Like what's going on? Why are you still here? And he was like, my friend told me that I've got 30 days. And I was like, no, that wasn't the agreement. And so, you know, I'm calling my mentor. I'm trying to figure out, like, what to do. And so basically we had to evict him from the property. And then so fast forward, you know, I think it was during Christmas time, but they were surprisingly fast. They get out there like 2 weeks after we had filed all of the eviction paperwork. And so he's crying to the constable. We hired some guys. They pulled all his stuff out on the curb, and then we started rehabbing it. And that was our most profitable. I want to say we have about $95,000 in equity on that one, but it was a process.
Wow. Give us some idea what you bought it for and what it was really worth, at the after repair value.
So the after repair value was $228,000. Actually, it's probably a little higher. That's what the tax rolls say it's worth right now. And we bought it for about, it was so long ago, I think we bought it for about $120,000.
Mm-hmm. So the guy was mad at you because you bought it so cheap? Or?
No, I think what it was, what the neighbor said was he got the money and he like went on a drug binge. And so by the time he was supposed to move out, he had already used all of the money and didn't have any money to move out.
Unbelievable. You know, mm-hmm. I always used to say real estate, just the entertainment value alone, just the stuff you see in life that you wouldn't see if you didn't do real estate is just worth it to me because it's always interesting to see that kind of stuff go on.
Oh, it was super interesting. I was posting all over my Facebook. Like, it was funny. I mean, at the time, it wasn't funny, but it was kind of funny afterwards.
Now, how much rehab did you have to do the house? You bought it for $120. It's worth $200.
Yeah, we didn't do a lot of rehab. I think we did about $15,000 in rehab. And then just with the principal pay down over time, we've captured more and more equity on it. And the value's gone up a lot.
You know, some people have to work for a year or two to earn that much money. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Dina Gonzalez and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
The roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Dina Gonzalez of Corpus Christi. And Dina, as we went to break here, we were talking about the fact that you had a very interesting deal with the crazy guy. I thought that you had also said you had some interesting story about the smell of money when it comes to doing real estate deals. You have another story you want to share with us?
I do have another story. So this one actually was a second cousin from Facebook, and he had his house listed on MLS and it would not sell. And so he wanted me to make him an offer, and I said, well, I think you should leave it listed. I'm always going to recommend that you sell it on MLS first because you're going to get more money. And so he's like, no, come on over. And so we went over, and this house smelled like death. Well, at first it would kind of like fade and then come back and fade and come back. And so we bought it. It was beautiful. That was the weird thing about it, is like the house was gorgeous. Like everything had been redone, but it just like smelt really, really bad. Like it was just, you could smell it on the walls. You could smell it everywhere.
And was he living in the house? Was he living in this house?
No, he wasn't living in the house. It was a rental, and he had left, and he'd been trying to sell it for like 6 months. And so Marshall got in there. We redid the flooring. It still smelled like death. Marshall was like, somebody died here. I just know somebody died here. And I'm looking, scouring the internet to see if, you know, anybody got shot or if anything happened. I call him. I'm like, okay, I have a weird question to ask you. You know, did somebody die here? There's this smell. And he was like, no, nobody died there. Everybody keeps talking about the smell. I don't smell anything. And so Marshall crawls under the house. And the smell was a dead cat. And it was wood flooring. It was a pier and beam house. And I guess the smell had just come up through the flooring. Or I don't even know. But it was a dead cat under the house.
And he just crawled under the house?
He did. I wouldn't have, but he sure did crawl under the house. He was dying to know what that smell was. He was fully convinced somebody had been murdered in that house.
Wow. There's a fireman running into the fire right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you find the cat? Is that what it was?
That's what it was. It was a cat that had gotten trapped under the house and was like decomposing underneath the house.
So when you took that away, did the smell go away?
Yeah, the smell went away completely.
So what kind of money did you make on this house from your second cousin or whatever it was?
So on this one, we had an equity capture of about $46,000. And let me look at my paperwork to see how much we put in it. I know we didn't put in too much. Let's see. I think, you know what? We did end up putting in $16,000 because I added an AC and then $10,000 in other rehab.
And so your equity capture total on this deal was?
It was. Well, see, the way that I did it was I did it with the principal pay down, but I'm looking at my sheet and the equity capture was not as nice when we first got it, I don't think. So, okay. So when we first bought it, we had it at $16,000, but since then the appraised value actually went up from 125. When we ended up getting it appraised, it actually appraised at, I think, 189.
All right. So how long ago was that?
Let's see. We bought this one last Christmas. So let me do 189 minus, because we did the numbers on 125. Oh, wow. So that says 64,000, which is completely different than what we had put in here, because we were assuming the worst with the cat smell. So
how much did you have to come out of pocket to buy this, and how did you buy it?
So we ended up coming out of pocket $6,700, and it was with hard money.
Explain to people how you did that.
So we put in the contract, and we made sure that it was 70% of after repair value minus repairs. And so we made sure that as long as we stuck in those parameters, we have a hard money lender that was 100%. They covered the full repair and the full cost of the house. And so we basically just ended up paying the title fees, their dock fee, and their points.
So they're lending you what percentage of the after repaired value?
70%.
70%, not 75.
They probably will lend 75, but I just always aim for 70 because you never know what's going to pop up.
Wow, you're very conservative.
Mm-hmm. We didn't know if it was a dead cat or a dead body. So.
Yeah, no doubt. So you've done six of these. You got another one you're going to do today or tomorrow. What is your total equity capture on all six? And we'll talk about the next one then after that. What have you done so far total?
Oh, that's a good question. Hold on. I put it in with the new one. So without the new one, I think we're at 426,000 equity capture. And we've sold some since then, too. So when I know you're supposed to sell them after a year and a day, but the ones that we've held longer, we've also sold them and gotten a lot of the equity out as well.
How many of them have you sold?
I haven't even kept track. I know that's not helpful. We sold one this year. I should probably track that for the next radio call.
Well, how many deals have you done total so far? Do you know that?
No, I don't know. I know we currently have six and we're going to close on the seventh. The one that we sold this year with the principal pay down and everything, we ended up getting back $70,000 on that one house.
Did you do a 1031 on that, or did you?
We should have. We did not.
You did not. So you paid some capital gains taxes on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we will this year. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay. Tell us about the one you're buying now. Because, you know, everybody wants to know, can you still do this stuff? I've been doing this for 34 years, and every single year they ask me, well, can you still do it now? I mean, sure, you could do it back when you did it. No. Tell us about what's happening now.
This one's a really good one. The one that we're closing on, I found it off of MLS. It was actually an investor that was offloading a bunch of different properties. I think they didn't follow the lifestyles method, and they got in trouble, I think. I can't say for sure. And so the one that we're about to buy, it's worth conservatively about $175,000. We're buying it for $85,000. We're planning on putting $30,000 into it. And I think it needs a lot less. But I always want to err on the side of, you know, caution. I always want to be cautious. And so we're going to capture about, let's see, $175,000 minus the 30 minus the 85 minus closing twice, so about 46,000 on this one.
What's the after repaired value on it?
Well, so that was the thing. This neighborhood went from 160 to 190, so I just put that it was 175 for my numbers.
Mm-hmm. And you're capturing $65,000 equity?
No, I think it's going to be 46 once I put in the closing twice. Okay. You tell me, you're the expert. How much am I capturing?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Your numbers, I have no idea on that deal. So this is happening right now. So you're going to capture 46. What kind of cash flow do we have on it?
So we'll have about $325 cash flow on it.
Okay. So I had a guy yesterday send me an email, said that, you know, I've been looking at this stuff and I can't find any of the deals that you guys talk about out there. I can't find any good cash flow. I can't find any, you know, deals. And I said, I don't know what do you mean? I mean, we see them every day. You having no problem finding them, right?
No, I mean, there's more deals than I can buy. Like, there's deals everywhere.
What is your long-term goal from all this?
So our long-term goal is to retire both of us. We would like to move into apartments and then eventually become leads.
So how do you see that happening? What's your plan?
I have a question for you about our plan, because Marshall okay. and I are, you can be our tiebreaker. So I would like to sell stuff off slowly as people don't renew, right? And he thinks we should sell everything off all at once and then jump into apartments. So
why does he want to sell everything off all at once?
That's a good question. I guess he feels like we would just grab all of that equity all at once. And me, I'm kind of like, well, we have money in other places. We have 401ks. We have reserves. We could still move into like a 10-plex without selling anything.
Yeah, I'm more with you. I would use the
Yay.
Other money, because the other money isn't earning you what you're earning in these real estate deals.
Right.
And you've got that cash flow, and you just need, you know, if you pick up a 10-plex and add to your cash flow, then one of you might get retired from that.
I think so. I think it would retire me for sure.
Well, the other thing to look at is this, is the money is really the easiest part of all of this. People don't realize that. Because if you go out there and you do a small apartment complex and learn how to do it, wrap your arms around it, understand it and everything, then the next deal you do, you bring partners in and they put up all the money. So money's, you know, just like you use the hard money lenders to lend to you for these deals, you can even get a hard money lender to help you on a small apartment if you want to. They will do it in certain arrangements. But you can definitely pick up partners and stuff. And so money is not the most necessary thing. Now, the one thing that is important, and this way, if I look at your total finances, I might change my mind or my answer, is that if you've got too much equity in these houses, that money has lost its rate of return, because your cash flow is not that large for having 60, 70, 80, 90,000 bucks in a house in equity. And he might be right. It economically, when you run the numbers, it might be better to get that equity out of there and move on to something larger. But when I was doing it, I was doing single family houses. I went from single family houses to buying duplexes to buying fourplexes. And I had 106 units, and all I had was single family duplexes or fourplexes, and I had up to 106 units. So I did it the slow way, because I'm a conservative person. Then once I knew how to do apartments, then boom, then I jumped right into, you know, 64 unit, 68 unit, 88 unit, 104 unit. It's a gigantic step, but once you take it, it just, everything changes. So let's talk about this. What type of net worth change have you made total since you started doing this?
Ooh, that's a good question. So we have upped our net worth by about 8. But I mean, that you have to keep in mind, we've bought and sold stuff too that's not on like our current sheet for the houses.
Right, I understand.
So I think if we could buy 4 more houses, we'll hit $1 million in net worth next year.
Well, there you go. That's a starting point, isn't it? Get your first $1 million net worth.
Yeah, that'll be great.
You say you have 5 kids. How old are they?
So we have a 22, a one that's going to turn 21 next week, a 20, a 17, and a 13.
Wow. Those are some old kids.
Yeah,
so
they are. We had them young.
Did you have these with your first husband or your second husband?
So I had 2. Marshall had 2. And then we had the baby when we got married.
Well, there you go. That's the perfect mix. Does the baby get spoiled more than the other ones?
He does, actually. We definitely spoil him a lot more.
Yeah, I could see that, especially if he's the one between you two. That's and being the youngest, I bet everybody else is jealous, but, you know, in a loving way. We have the same kind of thing. We have a split family, and we love all our kids. But the youngest ones always get the attention, there's no doubt. Always does.
Oh, for sure. Even the older
now, the grandkids.
Ones dote on him.
Even the grandkids now. Do you got any grandkids yet?
I don't. I keep telling the kids. I'm like, so when am I going to get grandkids? And they're like, no. I think they all want to wait and do college and get everything settled before they want kids.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing in that argument like that. It used to be people wanted to get the kids out of the way. You know, they have them when they're 20, so that by the time they were 40, the kids were grown up and they could start thinking about retiring and so forth. Now people like to wait until their 30s. I didn't have my kid until I was 35 years old, so it's a different way to approach it. And then your kids end up being, you know, much younger when you get old, like me.
My mom had me at 38.
Well, there you go. That's that kind of same thing I had. So as you guys go through this now, what would it take for you to retire? You only got 30 seconds to answer that.
Ooh, what do you mean? What would it take? Like monthly cash flow?
Yes, monthly cash flow. What would it take for you to retire?
Gosh, we'd probably need to bring in at least like $16,000 a month to retire.
Okay, well, there's your goal. Write that on a big piece of paper,
all
magnet
right.
it up to the refrigerator, and then you go find that apartment complex that produces $16,000 a month and do it. Get it done.
That sounds right? good. I want to retire for sure.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. There's no doubt about that. Well, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. And for the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just money. It's that lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.